Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson and available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the notify bell on YouTube. We got 28,000 new subscribers on YouTube, Larson.
That's, well, true, but I think that was made an error. I noticed that you didn't say this is Going In Raw dirt sheet. Is there a reason for this? There is a reason for this.
Subliminal.
Because dirt sheet, as you knew it, is moving to Mondays. Dirt yes. Sheet Live.
Yeah.
Fridays now are still going to be focused on wrestling news,
yeah.
But the format's going to be a little different. We have been longtime fans of Pardon the Interruption on ESPN.
Yeah.
So the debate format interests us.
Yeah.
So we're going to try that out. So we're going to take topical subjects, news subjects, wrestling news subjects of the day and debate them.
Yeah, we'll find out where we differ on things. I don't know why my voice all of a sudden.
Well, we've done a lot of talking.
I turned into John Laurinaitis all of a sudden. Yeah, we're going to figure out. So, for example, today, our poor predictions. I was just telling Larson, predictions is kind of the bastard child just bouncing around.
Because we feel like we want to do them. We need to do them.
It's a foster kid just bouncing around from home to home.
And we used to do them as our own video, mm-hmm. But it's not the most efficient way to do things.
No. We were like, hey, let's just, whenever there's a pay-per-view coming up, let's do it on the count out before. And then I was like, well, you know, and then we started doing the daily news show. Our channel is in a state of flux.
Yes.
We're figuring out what works best for us and you, the viewer.
Yes.
So basically, we love the dirt sheet. We love the intro title sequence. We're going to keep the dirt sheet, but it's going to be on Mondays as our weekend roundup news.
But every weekday, well, Tuesday through Friday, you will get short form news.
Yeah, the
programming.
Dailies, going
the
dailies. Dailies.
Monday will be the weekend recap, so that'll be a podcast-length news roundup.
Right.
Called Dirt Sheet.
Yeah.
We'll still do it live.
Yep.
Going forward on this Friday show, which we still really decide on the name, if we're going to change the name, we don't know yet.
We don't know.
He has some ideas, but...
Yeah.
Ideally, this is what I'd like to have happen. Usually, video questions are on Dirt Sheet, the Friday show. I want to keep that, but I want to change it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of asking us questions... if there's a debate topic you want us to talk about, send us a video question.
Yeah.
Well, so okay, you're still involved in the show. The patrons are.
Yeah.
$20 and up patrons.
$20 and up patrons are eligible. And this is for everybody out there. If you want to get your video question on the show, $20 and up a month gets you video. You can put your video question on the show. What Larson is saying right now is now for those patrons, instead of just asking any old video question willy-nilly, we're suggesting that you send us debate topics. Say, you know, Kevin Owens and AJ Styles are fighting this week at SummerSlam. Debate who the better person is.
Here's a better one. There was as we talked about this morning on our daily news show, Brie Bella said that Daniel Bryan is pretty much going to come back to the ring once the contract is up.
Yeah.
A debate subject, should he?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, or you can say, yeah, exactly, yay or nay. That was one idea we had for the title of the show,
yeah.
Yay or nay. Might just keep it dirt show, might just keep it going around. I don't know. Figure it out. Look, every day you get like
this
an
is,
hour.
This is essentially a pilot that everybody gets to watch, so yeah. Let's just go with it.
Every day you guys get 45 minutes to an hour of us talking about wrestling. That stays the same.
Yeah.
It's the details that don't really matter.
The contents might be a little different,
yeah.
But that block of programming
of
will
magic.
Always remain.
Of magic.
Yes.
So in that spirit, today we're going to talk. We're still going to do whatever video questions were sent in. We're still going to do those at the end of the show today. But just going forward, and we're going to put a note on the Patreon.
Yeah,
too,
we'll just remind do reminders constantly leading up to next week's show of the format change and the change of video questions. I don't know.
If it's one of those weeks where we get like 9 video questions.
We'll have to choose like the 5 best.
No, we'll do them all lightning round.
Okay, there you go. Sorry, that's a better idea.
Because if you're putting in $20
okay,
a month,
no,
that's
I know. That's a fair point.
All right.
I hadn't thought about lightning round, but now you mentioned that's a better idea.
Oh, I love you. Because here's the thing. I know that you love lightning round.
It doesn't matter what it is. I love lightning round.
Lightning round's always the best. Doesn't matter what it is.
Anyways, we're going to lightning round some of these, too, at the very beginning. So we're going to talk SummerSlam 2017.
Oh, we got to do non-news
specifically,
today
yes. our predictions of what's going to happen on the card.
Yeah.
There are a number of matches that we are in agreement on.
Yeah.
They are as follows. Lightning round. Akira Tozawa will defeat Neville.
Correct.
The New Day will defeat the Usos.
Yes, there is no debate on that.
AJ Styles will defeat Kevin Owens.
Correct.
Up for debate potentially is whether Shane McMahon will get involved.
Yeah.
Cass will defeat Will.
I'm not willing to debate this one, but this isn't necessarily a lock to me. But I'm not going to debate it because who cares?
Cass is going to win though.
Yeah. I'm like 70% sure on that.
Naomi will defeat Natalya.
Yeah.
We had talked about maybe including a Carmella cash in potentially as one of our debate subjects, but as we discussed it more, it seemed like we were both in agreement that if no full-fledged cash-in is going to happen, much less a successful cash-in.
There, I'll put it this way. Since there will be no failure because Baron Corbin already did, and we both kind of believe that Naomi's going to walk out of SummerSlam as champion, we both feel there's going to be a tease of some sort, maybe an attempt to cash in, and that will fail. But there will be no actual cash.
Yeah, at no point will she actually give the ref the briefcase. The ref will not ring the bell.
Exactly.
The match
correct.
Will not start.
Yeah.
Ambrose and Rollins will capture the Raw Tag Team Championship from Sheamus and Cesaro.
That is probably my lock of the night.
The Demon Finn Balor will defeat Bray Wyatt.
Second lock of the night, especially because Bray Wyatt picked up that win on Raw.
I kind of feel like Finn over Wyatt is the lock.
Yeah.
And then we both think that Shinsuke Nakamura will become the new WWE Championship.
Yeah.
WWE Championship.
Not a lock in my book.
Champion, sorry.
But a very, very, very strong possibility.
I went too fast in that lightning round, the last one.
That was good.
Said Nakamura has become the new WWE Championship. He'll be the new WWE Champion.
He'll become the new belt. Yeah.
Now it's time to debate.
All right. So we
first
have one,
match.
Two, three, four, four.
Four matches we disagree on.
Correct. Let me ask this real quick.
What?
Out of all these, I can only... there are two that have been decided by Vince McMahon and will not change between now and the end. I think Brock...
I think it's the last two.
I think... yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's those ones. Okay. First off, the one we disagree on. Who will win, Randy Orton or Handsome Rusev?
Would you like to start? Do you want me to start?
Randy Orton is absolutely going to win this, and I will tell you why right now. Because he just lost to Jinder Mahal many, many times for the WWE title, and one clean victory over Jinder Mahal is not enough to satiate either Vince's obsession with Randy Orton or his belief that Randy Orton needs to stay strong or the idea that Randy Orton needs to stay happy and therefore needs to pick up this win. Rusev, you can never count on Rusev to get a win when fans of Rusev really want him to get a win. And we both understand that, yes, this would make Rusev, this would do far more for Rusev than it would hurt Randy Orton, but that has never, ever mattered. It would have done nothing for Randy Orton to have lost and stayed for him to have lost the title to Bray Wyatt and for Bray Wyatt to have stayed champion. It would have done everything for Bray Wyatt and nothing bad to Randy Orton. And so Randy Orton defies logic. He will win this simply because he is Randy Orton. He is boring face Orton at this point. He will win.
Let me ask you, Steve. Who was standing tall on the go-home episode of SmackDown?
Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the time, what does that mean?
Randy Orton defies math. Are you kidding me? He defies math.
Here's why Rusev must win, and he will win.
Hold on. Let me ask this real quick.
What?
Did the math always work for Bray and Jinder Mahal?
I don't know.
I don't remember who were the stand talls. But
that's something we need to start keeping tabs on.
I know.
Here's why Rusev must win.
Okay.
He just returned from injury.
Mm-hmm.
He has had one pay-per-view match.
Okay.
That was the match against John Cena. That crap flag match
mm-hmm.
at Battleground, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
That was terrible.
That was awful.
Cena went over, as we assumed he would. Rusev needs to be brought over to SmackDown to serve as a credible heel.
Okay.
To establish credibility, he needs to start racking up victories.
I agree. I agree with all this.
As you said, Orton suffers nothing but from a loss.
I agree.
Have Rusev win here at SummerSlam. It's not going to be the end of this feud.
Yeah.
This is going on another 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Have Rusev, cheat to win, pick up the win to kick off the feud. Next five pay-per-views, doesn't matter, Orton can win. Rusev needs to win this first match. His second pay-per-view match, back from injury, if they want to establish him, he needs to win.
You know, one thing that I can look at is...
You try to do some research as far as go-homes and stuff?
Yeah, I am.
That's like a thesis to write, you know? It takes a lot more than just perusing the internet for five minutes.
I'm simply looking at this one. Jinder Mahal brought the Punjabi prison to SmackDown.
It was just a promo.
Oh, and he just stood up there. Hey, that's as tall. That's as tall as a man could possibly stand, and then he ended up losing.
Yep.
So the math, maybe the math does work.
The algorithm is true. I want to say at least 75% of the time.
We'll have to start doing math on that.
Yeah.
Anyways, look, I agree with all your points, with the exception that none of those points beat Randy Orton. The RKO out of nowhere will win this match.
He already got his RKO out of nowhere out of his system.
No, he gets them on a weekly basis. No, he gets them on a weekly basis. They happen all the time.
Out of his system now.
No, Orton's definitely going to win this. Or it doesn't. It's Randy Orton.
It is Randy Orton.
Hey, last year at SummerSlam. Here's the thing. Last year at SummerSlam, he lost against Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar is a once in a generation. Brock Lesnar might be the most legitimate champion in the history of the WWE. That's the only person Randy Orton's losing to at SummerSlam.
And Rusev.
You
trying to tell me that Randy Orton's never lost a match at SummerSlam before?
No.
The Lesnar?
I don't know. I don't know what the...
He was like 10-0 prior to his Lesnar loss.
SummerSlam. Yeah, he had a taker streak going. SummerSlam 2015. Let's see where Randy Orton was there. See, look, internet debates. Sheamus defeated Randy Orton in the curtain jerker at SummerSlam. Oh, no. Does Randy Orton have like a SummerSlam losing streak that I'm unaware of? Is he Mr. Anti-SummerSlam? There was no... Roman Reigns beat Randy Orton the year before that! Oh, no! This is completely disproven. Let's see, 2013. Another... Wait a second. The roller coaster. I thought they did that at WrestleMania this year.
They did. They recycled their own advertising material.
Randy Orton beat Daniel Bryan.
Oh, that was the cash-in, though.
That was the cash-in. That was he won in the cash in.
But that really wasn't a real match.
Let's see what happened in 2012 then. CM Punk, primetime player, Sheamus, Rey Mysterio. I don't even see he might have been injured.
Might have been hurt or shooting a movie.
Yeah, it could have been. Let's check the one.
So I think we've already established that Orton can lose a SummerSlam.
He beat Christian in 2011.
Okay.
Yeah. That was for that bunk World Heavyweight Championship.
Well, he lost. If he can lose to Christian, he can lose to Rusev.
No, he beat Christian.
Oh, sorry. Well, if he beats Christian, he can lose to Rusev.
that math works.
That does work.
We'll find out.
So we'll find out who wins on Sunday. Hey, we're doing a live stream.
Yeah.
Live
join
stream.
Join us. And you can see our reactions live to our yay or nays here.
Yeah, I think we're going to start around 3 p.m.
Sounds right.
Yeah, 3 p.m. Pacific time. Next match, the Raw Women's Title match, Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks. You started last time. I'm going to start this time. The finish of this match will come down to whether they... Two things. First, I'm assuming this is the case. Was Bayley supposed to win? Yes, because that would have brought the story full circle.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I agree with that.
Second, despite Bayley's injury, no word yet on how long she's going to be out.
She said a couple months.
Okay, a couple months. Do they want to continue with at least Alexa's side of that storyline and have her lose? Because I've been saying this for, I feel like, forever. At some point, the end game of the Raw Women's Division is going to have to be Sasha versus Bayley.
Yeah.
So whether it was Bayley picking up the win over Alexa here and building up for that next April, or now that Sasha's in this place, that being the case, they can still do that. Make a couple tweaks, they can still get the match they want at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they want to kick off that storyline, have Sasha win here, have Bayley come back, you can create some heat between them where Bayley's upset that maybe that Sasha won the belt in her stead.
Yeah.
And Sasha would be like, deal with it. And that can instigate a feud between the two of them.
Yeah.
Bliss, she's had a decent title run. She's great. But it just kind of feels like they're spinning their wheels on her. Something needs to happen. Sasha goes over. Bliss taps out to the bank statement.
I agree with you that they're spinning their wheels on Alexa Bliss. However, that has never stopped the WWE from continuing on in the same direction, spinning wheels. I honestly, I just think that Yeah, Bailey was probably supposed to win, but I think that was some for some very specific reasons. I think that Sasha Banks doesn't fit those reasons at this point, and so they're simply going to continue on. That's my only thing. I think they hadn't planned on Bailey getting injured, obviously.
Yeah.
And they have a plan in mind for Alexa Nia Jax. And maybe you're right. I mean, maybe this will launch them into that.
Well, I think the plan for Alexa and Nia Jax, if they were going to have Bailey win at SummerSlam, wouldn't have involved the title anyways.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. So they could still do that. And you're right about that. I just feel like the Bailey injury threw things off such a course. And given that she has said that she's only going to be out a couple months, leads me to believe that they can just revisit this at like Survivor Series and have Bailey finally get her comeuppance against Alexa Bliss, which is necessary to launch her into a series with Sasha Banks if they're going to go that route. I think they're going to be very hesitant to pull the trigger on a heel Sasha Banks.
Yeah,
very
hesitant. She is the most popular competitor in the Raw Women's division.
She really is.
She really is. But you know what? They've done face versus face feuds before.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's not unheard of, especially at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bailey might not get her moment besting Bliss at SummerSlam, but if they do Sasha and Bailey at Mania, have Sasha walk in as champion, have Bailey beat her there,
that could
be a huge moment for her.
You and I and a lot of people would really love to see Sasha versus Bailey, but when you really think about it, like put it in your head, it's actually happening, that could be a really bad situation for the WWE, because do they really want people to choose between Bailey and Sasha Banks, even if Sasha Banks is a heel? Even if she's a heel, she's still going to be loved. Turning her heel and effectively, Bailey is getting to the point that Sasha Banks is so popular, regardless of what she does to Bailey, if they're not very careful, which they have not shown us that they can be with Bailey, they will absolutely destroy Bayley.
Oh,
like,
entirely
you
possible.
Think the kendo stick match was bad. Having a heel Sasha Banks being cheered on against a face Bayley would completely destroy
No, that
her.
Is a fair point.
So I don't know.
So the solution to that, of course, is to keep Sasha face and turn Bayley heel, right?
That's not going to happen.
No, what happens then is the 70-plus thousand people that pack the Superdome for WrestleMania next year, they cheer for a quality match.
Yeah. That's exactly what they do.
They just cheer for both competitors.
Yeah,
and they just
we
want
love you
in
both.
In-ring excellence.
We want, yeah, they want a five-hour collar and elbow matchup.
Yes.
So I just think that the Alexa Bailey payoff has to involve the title, and they can put it off for a couple months. And on top of that, Sasha Banks is sort of being launched into this. I mean, yeah, she can carry the title whenever. And the other thing about Sasha Banks, she don't win titles at pay-per-view. She wins them at Raws.
Well, that's when she's feuding with Charlotte, because at the time, Charlotte did not lose on pay-per-view.
Well, Charlotte is not on the roster.
Exactly.
Here.
I will say, of all the four matches we're debating, this is the one I feel the least sure about. I think this is pretty much a coin flip at this juncture. And that includes the next one.
Boy, oh boy. You're sure about this one?
I'm not saying I'm sure.
You're more sure about this than Alexa? Oh, yeah. No, I could see. You're more sure about this?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Sorry. I feel more confident debating my point of view than
debate. Fair enough. Next up, we're talking about John Cena and Baron Corbin. By the way, I think the Raw Women's title, the outcome of that will probably be decided by Vince.
Morning of the show.
Like later than any of the other ones. That's going to be my guess on that one.
It's
we'll
entirely
see.
Possible.
I just have a feeling.
I mean, the finish for the Cena-Corbin match could have been decided like 2 minutes after SmackDown went off the air.
Oh, that was decided when they decided. Yeah, that was decided when Vince read Twitter, when Maybe. He read Baron Corbin's tweets. Cena versus Corbin. This is, to me, this is like lock supreme. Cena, there is no chance Cena isn't going to be. The only debate here is how deep Cena's going to bury Corbin. Do you want to debate that instead of trying to take on the Baron Corbin point of view?
I would like to hope that Cena would at least give Corbin just enough respect to give him a competitive match before beating him.
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
When's the last time you saw John Cena that delighted? As what we saw at the end of SmackDown when Baron Corbin failed on his cash-in. When was the last time we saw a delight? He was so amused by that fool failing on his cash-in. He if they suggested to him, hey, so Baron's going to come out really aggressive, and John Cena would immediately start dying laughing. He would start dying laughing. But so that's my reasoning for John Cena going over at SummerSlam. I'm sure you have some valid points.
I'm going to take a tangent first. Go ahead. I read something in the newsletter, Wrestling Observer newsletter this morning, about Kevin Eck was talking about when Cena and Dolph were involved in a program, and Cena was all on board with it. And then they had a series of matches, from my understanding, for reading it. Dolph was calling the matches, and Cena just wasn't impressed. And so he took his insight to Vince, and they still had Dolph win Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
But then people were pushing for Dolph to cash in WrestleMania that year, or the following year. And Vince says, no, we'll do it on Raw the next night to pop ratings. We'll get the belt off him right away.
Yeah.
He got concussed.
Yeah.
Didn't happen right away, but pretty much as soon as he was healthy, he lost that belt.
Oh, yeah.
So that speaks to the power that John Cena has, his words have, over Vince McMahon.
Absolutely.
As far as I know, I haven't seen enough interactions between Corbin and Cena that would lead me to believe that Cena would form a concrete opinion of Corbin's in-ring work.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's like in the locker room. I've seen some of the stuff Corbin does on Twitter. Probably not advisable.
Hey, you know who else likes Twitter? John Cena.
He does.
Guarantee you, either. Do we know? How do you find out if John Cena's following Baron Corbin?
You just go to Corbin's profile and see who's following him.
Oh, okay.
Or vice versa. Yeah, but like Corbin going back and forth with Dave Meltzer and fans and other wrestlers, just probably the best idea.
The military. I wonder if that dude, I think his name is Michael or something or other. I wonder if he understands that he might have changed the course of a career. With one well-timed tweet. And, you know, there are some people after. So for those of you who don't know the backstory, Baron Corbin was getting into it with a fan on Twitter. The fan, Baron Corbin called the fan a loser. The loser then posted a picture. Posted a picture of himself and a couple of WWE superstars. He was a troop on deployment when the WWE came out and, you know, said hi. And he said, he's standing next to Vince. He said, your boss didn't think I was a loser when he came to visit me on deployment, which was, and then a couple tweets after that. And I understand this point of view where people saying, you know what? I was in the military and this isn't a good comeback because you're just playing the military card. And it's like, how do you come back from that? And I get that point of view, but he wasn't simply playing the military card. This was a sick burn comeback. It really was, because knowing full well that Baron Corbin couldn't say anything except for eat his own words, that's good. And he had the picture.
Did he tag Vince in the tweet?
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. To me, it was really, really well done. And Baron Corbin said something like, you're right, you've done great things. I just disagree with your opinion. It was even a bad dig yourself out of the whole thing.
Corbin is not very good at
communications,
social media. Anyways, yeah, after talking, I don't feel quite as confident, but I'm gonna present my case anyways.
Okay,
so I speculated, well, there's one of two scenarios as far as Corbin cashing in and failing.
Okay.
One, he's getting buried. Mm-hmm. Two, they're trying to build up some short-term heat for the Cena Corbin match that was kind of put together hastily.
Yeah.
So what better way to do that than to have John Cena in some way, mm-hmm. cost Baron Corbin potentially the WWE title.
Okay.
And that is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And you have Cena down by the barricade, reveling in it, gleefully reveling in it.
Yeah.
Corbin losing his mind. So he goes into SummerSlam super aggressive.
Okay.
And it's not going to be a squash match, obviously. Hard-fought match. Corbin picks up the win.
Mm-hmm.
Cena can take a loss to Baron Corbin. It doesn't matter to him.
Sure, sure.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter. It does wonders for Baron Corbin, though.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Because Cena's off to Raw the next night.
I honestly think that, number one, that John Cena is cognizant of the Super Cena thing. I absolutely think that... Oh, that's funny. John Cena is following Trent Beretta. I absolutely think that Cena, number one, and I know you don't disagree with this. Cena knows his own worth.
Yeah.
And let's say I'm John Cena. To beat me, you have to prove why you're beating me. So it doesn't matter. We both know that a loss for John Cena doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We understand that. He won't get hurt
but
by
he,
it.
But he understands the value of him laying down to take a loss.
He knows that you're not pinning me unless you have deserved it. And as much as I would love to think that John Cena is standing at that barrier giggling like a schoolgirl over what just happened in order to further the story, I think he just, because this is John Cena is, I'm not going to say he's on autopilot right now. John Cena is on.
There's no pressure on him whatsoever.
There is zero. That's a great way to put it. There is zero pressure. He's simply, while he's there, he's having fun.
Yep.
Because he's like, you know what? It's like you've already given your 2 week notice at your job, so you can dick around as much as you want and nobody can say anything.
Yep.
And that's John Cena right now. So I think there is a burial in sight, a severe burial.
Let's talk about this right now because it kind of relates.
John Cena is following Dolph Lundgren.
There was some talk online about Jinder Mahal's feet being under the rope
right
when he pinned Baron Corbin and whether that would be acknowledged.
Yeah.
Probably not.
No, none of that. None of that's going to matter. Number one, this is how much I know about wrestling. I didn't realize that the guy doing the pin couldn't have his feet.
Nobody's feet under the rope.
Wow. Anyway.
Nobody's feet could be under the ropes.
Nobody. However, in this case, Jinder's legs are literally like the length of the ring. So
I'm trying to think of another reason why I thought Corbin would win.
No, it's good. It's good. Like this is a fun topic to talk about.
I thought I had more there.
If you there's just overwhelming evidence to suggest.
Well, there's history. I know.
Like, who are we talking about here? John Cena. I mean, you have to admit the courage, like not courage, but the convictions that he, like anybody else. Okay, yeah, no job. No, John Cena, you need to earn.
I can hear the conversation back there where like one of the bookers talking to John. John, we're getting you a program with Baron, and you know, we'll have him cash in. You'll cost him the cash in, but he'll go over at SummerSlam. What has he done to deserve that? Like, you just need matter of fact.
Yeah, there's no about it. What has he done to deserve that? Like, it's he has to get all the info first before it clears.
He has to process it.
And you have to speak in clear tones and make perfect sense. Well, you know, we're trying to get him over as the next. Excuse me? Are you serious now?
Get him over. What? Go, you mean you're trying to put him over me?
You're trying to put him over.
And the whole time you can't tell if he's just messing with the booker
exactly,
or not.
Exactly.
But you know, like
some 26-year-old kid.
I know, you know, like an assistant writer. but you know, I will say this about Corbin. You know, set aside his Twitter behavior. You know, whether he's liked backstage or not. What we've seen in the ring,
mm-hmm.
he has improved a ton.
Oh, look.
From his call-up a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And it seems like, in terms of his performance, he has been busting his tail.
I think he has been.
And so that, I would like to hope, not saying that Cena has to give him credit enough to lay down for him,
mm-hmm.
but at least give him credit enough. If he's going to beat Corbin, at least make a competitive match.
Yeah,
Just don't bury him.
I know. I totally.
And I'm not even
that.
Like a Corbin fan. I'm not going to apologize for anything Corbin's done.
Is it possible that Baron Corbin is sliding back into going in Raw Wrestler of the Year?
If he loses at SummerSlam, that's a distinct possibility.
In a burial?
Oh, if he gets buried, it's a shoo-in.
Because he had gotten himself out of going in Raw
Wrestler
of the Year.
Because he's improved so much.
And
then he sticks his foot in his mouth on social media.
And
repeatedly.
Is, it's not even like offensive. It's just, what are you doing, you clown?
It's because, you know, like I remember one of the early takeovers we watched, it was him against Apollo Crews, the one in London.
Yeah.
And we were listening to him trash talk. And we're like, this is terrible. He is not a good trash talker. And he still isn't. He's
still not a good
He hasn't said anything like offensive. It's just bad trash talk.
Yeah. And it's he'll say things like, you're not me. What?
I'm not a premature balding guy. Okay.
I don't have a face on my torso. And here's the thing, like I like you said, we have openly acknowledged that he has improved. There was a very brief period of time when I was like, man, I could totally see that title.
We've extinguished that thought real quick.
Yeah, pretty much.
Real quick.
Oh, man.
He's an awful trash talker.
He's not a good... You're not me.
You can't criticize because you've never done this.
You can't... I can imagine him coming out of a movie and saying, you know, somebody hearing somebody
Well, no,
say,
he can't criticize the movie because he's never acted
no,
before.
No, hearing somebody else say, boy, that movie was crap.
Hey, are you an actor?
Have you made movies? Then you can't say anything. You're not me. All right, let's continue.
Let's move on. Last match we're going to talk about is the main event for the Universal title. Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman versus Universal Champion Brock Lesnar.
All right. I mean, look, this isn't nearly as tall a task as what you just had to do. Try to convince Bill Barry. Spit
all of yourself.
Baron Corbin's not going to get buried.
I didn't.
And actually will get a pin.
I didn't do a very good job, and I know. I tried to even put forth the air of confidence before it started. Man, I feel good about this.
It fell apart pretty quickly.
And then I realized I couldn't keep up the charade any longer. I was like, man, I drew the short stick on this one.
You're like, you know what? Screw it. It's much more fun to talk crap about him. A truly balding man with a face on his board. That was so messed up. I would kill to have his torso. He has a great torso. Anyways.
All right.
Smiley belly button.
You went first. I'll go first.
Okay.
Brock Lesnar is keeping that belt.
Let's hear it.
Oh, how do I list the ways this is going to happen? First off, I've said this a couple times before. The fact that they mentioned his possible departure after SummerSlam, mm-hmm. in my mind, secures his victory at SummerSlam because, I mean, people who don't read the dirt sheets may not understand, but we understand that he has a contract. That he has to fulfill the terms
That's
of that contract,
true.
Which
yeah,
means
yeah.
that he has to
He's
continue
not actually
wrestling.
Leaving,
yeah. No, he has to continue wrestling until that contract is over, unless he and Vince negotiate a buyout. That's not going to happen. Vince isn't going to let him have his contract prematurely.
None of that's happening.
So they put that stipulation, if you want to call it that, into the match to create a doubt in the viewer's mind that Brock is going to stick around.
Mm-hmm.
It's the swerve. He's sticking around because he's advertised for appearances following SummerSlam. Barclays Center advertised him, let slip on Twitter, mm-hmm. that he's going to be at the Raw after SummerSlam. Now, you could say he's coming on the show to say goodbye or to reiterate that he's leaving. No, he's coming back out there with that Universal title strapped around his waist to gloat. That's what's going to happen. Heyman's going to do the gloating for him.
Yeah.
Not only that, what's the one thing, probably more than anything else, we criticize WWE about?
Oh, God.
Lack of long-term planning.
Oh, sure.
If their plan was to do a year-long storyline, I'm not going to talk about the quality of said storyline because it could be absolute garbage. I'm just saying, we criticize WWE a lot for not following through on plans when they have them not making those plans.
Look, if WrestleMania was, not to interrupt you, if WrestleMania was the kickoff to that storyline, which we think it was, I'm intrigued right now because that Universal title, they're doing really good with it. So go ahead.
Honestly, I don't want Brock to have the Universal title. I want Strowman to have it or Joe have it.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for that to happen.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen. I would rather see what they can do if the plan is in place to do Brock Reigns at WrestleMania next year, stick to their guns, follow through on their plans, see what they can do to make it interesting. Have me care about that. I'm willing to see what they can do if they're willing to accept that challenge to make fans give a damn about that match, because that is an uphill climb.
Yep.
Follow through on their plans. Let's give them an opportunity. Brock's winning.
All right. Well, you said you'd love to see Samoa Joe win. I got good news for you. Paul Heyman has ensured that Samoa Joe is going to win. Here, it's easy as day. When they said Brock Lesnar is leaving the WWE, yes, that was a swerve. The swerve is he is going to lose and not leave the WWE. I think that they might have an actual one-year plan mapped out. Did it involve Brock Lesnar keeping the Universal title the entire way? I don't think so. And this fatal four-way is absolutely their way out of making him look weak at all or taking a pin and essentially having their cake and eating it too, because you can take a detour with that Universal title. Samoa Joe, maybe the plan was for Braun Strowman, or maybe the plan was originally for Brock to have it the entire time, but I think it would be folly for them not to go ahead with Samoa Joe with what he has displayed, and you can still tell the story of Roman Reigns slaying the Beast. If Brock Lesnar, here's my thing, if Brock Lesnar drops that Universal title, there is no way that character or the character of Paul Heyman would be okay with this. He has already said, Kurt Angle, you are ensuring that Brock will get screwed at SummerSlam. Now, what's the one thing Brock isn't going to do if he does get screwed over? He's not just going to leave.
Well, no, he's got a contract. He can't.
Even within the realm of the storyline, he can't just, or he's not just going to leave as a character because that's his property. That's like taking his land. And we know how Brock Lesnar is with his land.
He loves his land.
I honestly think that this year-long storyline might have a couple of interesting twists and turns. And one of those will come in SummerSlam in the form of Samoa Joe getting the Universal title. I do. Or Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman. Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe. Braun Strowman.
Stick to your guns. Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe. I would love for Samoa Joe to win. I would absolutely love that.
SummerSlam's going to be a mark-out moment for everybody, for Shinsuke Nakamura winning and for Samoa Joe winning. And it's going to be like the moment when CM Punk and Daniel Bryan held both COVID, both belts.
But I don't think that's going to be the case. They're going to have Nakamura win. So I said this before.
Mm-hmm.
So the hardcore fans are happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then have Brock win. So the casual fans are happy.
Maybe. Do we both agree that Roman Reigns is not going to win at SummerSlam?
He's not winning.
Yeah, he's not winning at SummerSlam.
If Joe wins, who eats the pin? Has to be Reigns.
Braun has been pinned before.
Not in a long time.
Braun can eat a pin.
He has not been pinned in a long
time. He was pinned cleanly by Roman Reigns.
When?
It was on, it was that one pay-per-view. It was the pay-per-view.
Yeah, the beginning of the year.
Before Great Balls of Fire. Wasn't it?
No, we were there for that. That was Payback.
The one that the clean pin happened?
Yeah, it was before WrestleMania.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, it was before Mania, really?
Yeah.
There you go.
It's been a while.
What happened to Mania? Roman Taker. Who'd Braun fight at Mania?
He was in the Andre Battle Royal.
Oh, my goodness. Wait, the clean pin?
Yeah, it was before Mania. It wasn't Royal Rumble. It was one after that. Because remember, Braun got involved in the Owens.
This year has gone by so quickly.
Owens Reigns title match.
My goodness.
And then
gracious.
The following pay-per-view, Reigns pinned Strowman.
Okay.
And ever since then, as far as I'm aware, Strowman's just beat the hell out of Reigns.
Yeah.
So Joe would have to pin Reigns.
Okay, so in your scenario, if Brock wins, Joe gets pinned?
Either Joe or Reigns. I think it'd be more interesting if Lesnar pinned Reigns to win, then Reigns has an even more uphill climb.
I think two men, I'll put it this way, two men who are definitely not going to eat a pin is Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. That's what I'm going to say.
I don't think Strowman or Lesnar are eating a pin.
You think it's Strowman and Lesnar, huh? All right. Well, let us know what you guys think in the comments. We have some video questions, don't we?
We have a video question for sure. I'll see if the other one. One video question for sure.
One of our friendos sent us a video question, but then there was no video question attached to it.
This video question that we have in hand is from Patrick Sparks. He's always.
We love Patrick.
Good to send a video question in every week. We'll see what Patrick has to say.
Patrick might be our friendo MVP. I know it's going to offend a lot of people, but.
At least for Dirt Sheet, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
See what Patrick has to say.
So. This Sunday at SummerSlam, we're getting AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens for the U.S. Championship again, with Shane O'Mac as the special guest ref. The other week on SmackDown, Kevin Owens was saying that Shane's been known for screwing people out of matches, title shots, whatever. And personally, I think that Shane's going to screw Owens out of the title and Styles will retain. But that made me think, what do you think the worst action of McMahon has ever portrayed on screen in the WWE, whether it be Vince, Shane, Stephanie, or Linda for that matter, exclude Vince making Trish bark like a dog, because that's obviously the worst thing ever. And what do you think the best thing McMahon has ever done on screen? What do you guys think? Hope you guys enjoy SummerSlam. I'll probably be tuning into the live stream. Thanks, friendos. Bye.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick. So, this is a really long list.
Yeah.
We can even start off with the wrestling classic when he sat there and watched Lord Alfred Hayes feel up the ghost Susan. You guys can hear about that on Going In Review this Sunday.
Yeah, there's a laundry list of, there's a laundry list of just how Vince McMahon has mistreated women on his show.
Yeah. So, even taking that out of the equation, as Patrick has suggested, there's many times, or several times at least, a small handful of times, when he has had men kiss his buttocks, the Kiss My Ass Club, live on TV. So throw that in there.
And also, Patrick said, not just Vince, any member of the McMahon family.
Does that extend to Triple H?
Was he married to Stephanie at the time?
The Katie Vick thing?
Yeah.
Maybe. I think so. There's the Katie Vick thing.
Yeah, that's real bad.
He's a McMahon, kind of. I mean, you know, a lot of those. Look, Vince has done plenty of good things, I think. You know, he's given us a lot of entertainment.
Yeah, but then some of the, yeah. There's been a lot of things that have not been good.
Yeah. You know, I was watching a segment, even if it was like 2006. It was when DX had got back together, but Shawn Michaels wouldn't do lewd things.
Yeah.
And there was this whole thing where, like, Triple H was standing next to Candice Michelle, and, like, the implication is that there are people performing oral sex on them under the table. And I was like, I could not imagine having that. Because these days, I'll put Raw on when Alabama's running around. Couldn't imagine.
Oh, I know.
But it's like, that would be such a bummer. You know, it's like, that's one area I don't really need it to be lewd.
No, I don't either.
You know, I watch Game of Thrones. I think it's awesome. I love the sex scenes. That dude who doesn't have a dingus had sex with that one girl this year. I mean, they didn't literally have sex because they didn't have a dingus.
Who doesn't have a dingus?
You haven't watched Game of Thrones since season three.
Since, yeah, season two or three.
This guy showed up, I think, like last season. So you don't know who he is.
Mm-mm.
Anyways.
How is Game of Thrones this season? Good? Should I catch up?
Here's the thing. I would suggest you catch up. Because for the first four seasons, I watched. Didn't really care for any of the characters save for Peter Dinklage, because he's amazing.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Last year, and maybe the year before that, but certainly last year, like, immediately, like, a lot of the characters, like, finally grew into who they were supposed to become and became less annoying. And the production value on that show really is top notch.
Yeah,
there was an episode last season where it was like a full on war. And the good thing is, it's not like a bunch of, like, teasing about war. Now they're fully on war. Like, there was a scene last week with, like, a dragon and a freaking army. And, oh, my God, it was like, whoa, they totally just did that.
Wow.
So there's a lot of really great moments. So I would absolutely suggest it if you have the time. It is quality stuff.
Okay. I'll take that into consideration.
There's
my endorsement. I don't have a lot of time in my day
to
watch TV shows.
Fargo's good, too.
I need to watch that stuff.
It's good stuff.
I still haven't even started Breaking Bad.
You know, Breaking Bad's really... I really love Breaking Bad, but it's a lot to get through for its particular payoff. I would actually put Fargo, man, especially Fargo season two.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. It is so good.
I wonder if that's kind of the appeal. We've gotten way off track here of doing, like, self-contained seasons.
Oh, it's great. It's fantastic. They really do, like, from start to finish.
What's the last TV show that you watched that was lasted more than, like, three or four seasons that when it ended, you were truly satisfied with the outcome? Was it Battlestar Galactica?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I loved that. You know, it's funny. Like, Lost's last episode was crap.
Yeah.
That made me mad. But Battlestar did a really good job of sort of treading the line between the spirituality aspect of things and then technology and sci-fi.
Yeah.
Yeah, Battlestar was really, really good.
Because, like, Mad Men, the finale of that wasn't bad. It was kind of underwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. That's grown on me a bit more, I think, since it's ended. Like, when I look back, I'm like, okay, I know it was underwhelming, but I don't know. Anyways, that's it for us. We're going to talk more about TV after this.
Yeah, let us know what you think of the debate format, whether you like it or no, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, cool. That's just shit, you know, shooting shit about wrestling.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah, totally.
We're trying new things.
You'll still get your dirt sheets. That's the thing. We're still going to keep on giving you what you like.
In fact, you're going to get more news because every day we're doing something.
Every day.
Every
and
day.
It's shorter blasts.
Yeah, just news. None of us talking. That's what the show is about.
Exactly. Till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.